The Lord is good. Hi there, Honey Ridge family, and warm greetings to anyone else who may be listening in. Please won't you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, out of the abundance of your goodness, give us a fresh glimpse of just how profound your goodness is, so that we can worship you like Moses did just after you revealed it to him. Help us now for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. 9 years ago, my teenage cousin was killed as a pedestrian in a hit-and-run accident. Since then, we've been walking the road of grief with my believing aunt, uncle, and his sister. On what would have been his birthday recently, I assured them of our ongoing prayers, shared their still fresh brokenness and loss, but encouraged them, as I encouraged myself, that God is good. This triggered in me a desire to try and understand afresh what it means for us to say that God is good. It is my joy and privilege to share with you what he showed me. In the first place, I saw that God's goodness relates to his ways. In Exodus 33:19, God says to Moses, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord." God's passing by Moses is recorded in Exodus 34:5-7 as follows. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, one doesn't identify a good person by simply looking at them, but rather by watching what they do, watching their ways. Interestingly, Moses had just asked God in verse 13 to show him his ways. So God links all of his goodness to his ways, because as he passes by, he reveals his goodness by declaring the different ways in which he deals with his people. That is, being merciful, gracious, slow to anger, loving, faithful, forgiving, and just. Secondly, I saw that God's goodness is glorious. God actually says as much in this interaction with Moses. Moses brings this out in how he chooses to record it. In verse 17 of chapter 33, Moses simply asks God to show him his glory. In verse 18, which we've already looked at, God responds by saying he will make all his goodness pass by. Then in verse 21, he warns Moses that he cannot see God's face while his glory passes by, thus equating his goodness to his glory. The different ways that reveal his goodness thus show that his goodness is multifaceted. In fact, those mentioned in verse 18 imply others which are explicitly mentioned elsewhere in his word. For example, his mercy in not giving people what their sins deserve means that he is kind and compassionate. The fact that he is gracious in giving people more than what they need shows that he is generous, and being a just judge reveals that he is fair. More than that, his love is not just steadfast, nor is he just faithful. Steadfast love and faithfulness abound from him. Better still, as David declared, "This God, his way is perfect." So, as God, all his ways are perfect. This implies that his ways never contradict one another and always work in perfect harmony. Furthermore, as James tells us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And Hebrews 13:8 declares, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So since God never changes, he is as good today as he ever has been and ever will be. He is good all the time. So just as the heavens declare the glory of his creative genius, so his perfect and unchanging ways declare the glory of his goodness. To summarize this point, perhaps more appropriately and profoundly put, he is infinitely good. Thirdly, I saw that God's goodness is beyond understanding. While it's necessary and helpful for our souls to try and understand His goodness expressed through His ways, we must listen closely to God's declaration through Isaiah when He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Add to that Psalm 33:11, which states that the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. These are the humbling answers to questions about how it's possible for God to rightly hate evil and sin, yet allow it. In fact, even order it, while staying completely blameless and remaining totally in control to bring about good. Joseph was wickedly sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, who were fully responsible for this evil act. Yet, as the story unfolds from Genesis 37 to 50, we see that God was sending Joseph ahead of them to Egypt for their good and the good of many, as God used him to deliver Egypt and surrounding areas from a crippling drought. And this amazing story of God's goodness was a mere foreshadow of the ultimate display of His goodness brought about by the darkest act. Romans 8:6-8 explains it like this. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a self-righteous man or a self-righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So here we see more of the glory of His goodness in the fact that it is beyond understanding or comprehension, because it is unfathomable that out of His abundant goodness, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, the sinless God-man, would give Himself up to be killed on a cruel cross for the good of those who had no goodness in them. Finally, I saw that God's goodness must be experienced. Now, if God is totally in control, never changing, and infinitely good, then surely He is absolutely trustworthy. We know that this is easier said than done, though. Perhaps this is why the psalmist exclaims, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." In other words, His great goodness must be personally experienced to be fully appreciated, and the more you trust in His goodness, the more of it you will experience and see. Also, one cannot experience His goodness without being transformed by it. For example, in response to his brothers' pleas for mercy because of what they had done to him, Joseph said, "Do not fear. Am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Here is the testimony of a transformed man who'd walked with his God and entrusted himself to His goodness. In doing this, Joseph had proved God's goodness, experienced it, seen it, through many intense trials, which included being betrayed by his brothers, losing those dear to him, being unjustly imprisoned, and left for dead in prison. Isn't experiencing His goodness our testimony as born-again believers? In spite of all we've faced, may currently be facing, or are yet to face, we have surely tasted and seen His goodness to us in our salvation through Jesus Christ. The infinitely good God crushed His beloved Son so that you and I could enjoy Him and all His goodness forever. This is the glorious backdrop to our ongoing trials, together with promises like Romans 8:28 to carry us through. They say, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose." As J.I. Packer reflects, "God is good to all in some ways, but to some in all ways." That is, those who love Him because He first loved them out of His abundant goodness. Oh, that we would grow in trusting Him, waiting in anticipation on all of His promises, remembering that they've been made by an infinitely good, therefore promise-keeping God, who by His very nature knows what is good for us all the time. Please pray with me. Our Father, thank you for this time. We worship you for the glory of your infinite goodness. Prove it more and more in each of our lives as we grow in trusting you more wholeheartedly because you are so good, particularly through our trials. Do this as our tried and tested rock and refuge, so that we might be witnesses to and image bearers of your great goodness as those who have truly tasted and seen it. In Jesus' name we pray, with thanksgiving and praise. Amen.